Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening. Jennifer Boomgarden is Executive Director of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. She joins us today from Mason City, Iowa to discuss SDSO's Music as Medicine program. Jennifer, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Lori.
You are in Mason City, Iowa on business, or are you vacationing?
I am vacationing. I'm visiting some friends.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Tell us a little bit of an overview about Music as Medicine. How long has it been going on, and what is it fundamentally trying to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Music as Medicine actually started in January of 2012, and its mission really is several things. One, to create a positive impact on patient care through music. You know, there's tremendous studies about impact of music in healing environments. And so that is one of the missions there. But two is really to not only affect patients, but also affect families and medical staff who, anytime they're dealing with folks in hospital situations, they can use a little care themselves. So that's a second mission of medicine. And a third is really to allow the South Dakota Symphony to have a consistent presence in our healthcare system. And part of that overall mission of service that the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra has.
So is there some science that is behind what you're doing? Is it basically a concert? Is there interaction with the patients there?
You know, Music as Medicine has evolved really significantly since it started in 2012. You know, I think it's primarily executed by our nine core musicians, and that is our Dakota String Quartet and our Dakota Wind Quintet. And these are our full-time musicians, so they're on our staff for 35 weeks a year. And when we initially started Music as Medicine, it was primarily in the public areas of our hospitals, in the lobbies, in the waiting rooms, And that was primarily because our musicians are trained musicians. They're not trained medical professionals. And so we needed to give them a little bit of time to be comfortable in this new environment. And as we've executed Music as Medicine over the last, oh gosh, now 4 years, they have really expressed a desire to be more impactful and have the opportunity to interact more with the patients. And so Music as Medicine has been evolved into some really exciting areas. Our Dakota String Quartet is now the in-residence ensemble at Avera Behavioral Health. They work directly with Dr. Mark Vandenbrock. They are there every month, and they first work with a group of their inpatient residents. And, you know, Dr. Vandenbrock would be another great person for you to hear from about this program, because he really says the environment that the ensemble creates when they're there is really like nothing else that these folks have a chance to experience. And he said it provides a calm and a focus that is really unusual for this group.
Jennifer, I'm going to interrupt
just
for a second. We're kind of fading in and out with your phone. I'm wondering if you can make any adjustments on your end so that get to you a little clearer. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jennifer Boomgarden. She is the executive director of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. The SDSO received more than $9,000 in grants from the South Dakota Community Foundation for Music as Medicine, and she is joining us from Mason City, Iowa. Jennifer, are you still with us?
I am. Is this any better?
That is a big improvement, I think.
Oh, good. All right. Well, sometimes technology works and sometimes it doesn't.
That's right.
We'll go this way.
We're going to figure it out. So I want to go back and maybe repeat a little bit of what you were talking about, what happens at Avera Behavioral Health.
Yeah, our string quartet is in residence there. They are there once a month working directly with Dr. Mark Vandenbrock, who's a music therapist there. And they spend part of their time working with a larger group of the folks that are currently in residence at Behavioral Health. And then they spend the second part of their time actually escorted by Dr. Vandenbrock into the senior area there, which also does some memory care things. And so that has been a great evolution of Music as Medicine and into more direct work with the patients. A new program that Music as Medicine piloted just a couple weeks ago, actually, was a program that we're calling Memoirs. And this program is done with the Dakota Wind Quintet and a local storyteller. Daryl does many different things. His name is Daryl Fickbaum, but in this instance, Daryl is helping us work with residents to use music to tell their story. And so it's a spectacular program, actually, that Daryl sits down with one of the residents of the Prince of Peace Retirement Community and talks to them a little bit about their life. And the way he's done it is he asks them five or six questions. So he asks them to talk about a poignant moment in their life, or he asks them to talk about a particularly joyous moment in their life, or he asks them what they would like their legacy to be. And this program has now happened twice, and in one case, the resident served as the narrator of their own program. Hmm. And in the other instance, Daryl took their story, and he narrated their story. But in between each of the segments that is really about the life of the resident, our Dakota Wind Quintet chooses very specific music to go along with the memories that these folks are relaying. And so it provides an opportunity for people to reflect on some really powerful words that these folks who have lived very long and fruitful lives have to share with us.
And where did the inspiration for that come? Is that something from another community, or did that come from the musicians themselves?
This actually was a Carnegie Hall program that actually works with the homeless population in New York City. Does something similar to it, but they're actually in that program composing. So we just really took this and made it our own. And I think Daryl and the musicians in particular have really kind of taken it to the next level. The second one that we did, they added some video and some photos of the residents. And since Daryl narrated that one as opposed to the resident serving as their own narrator, he actually recorded some of their voice.
Sure.
And was able to give our musicians some really specific things that they were going to say. So they were able to choose the music that really would, again, like I said, provide that opportunity for reflection.
Was that performed then at the Prince of Peace?
At the retirement community.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so the audience is their peers.
What kind of responses did you get for a performance such as that?
Responses in terms of
the audience.
I think people really loved it, and it gives them a chance to know their fellow residents even a little bit better. You know, when you make it, essentially using a local celebrity of sorts, and again, just provides an opportunity for the residents to learn a little bit more about any. Some things that you don't normally talk about. What would you like your legacy to be? What are some of those really poignant moments in your life? And our first person was 93, and she had lived a very full life. And our second, Floyd, I think, was also in his 90s. So they just have plenty to say. So that's another incarnation of music as medicine.
So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how these programs affect the musicians themselves, going into a hospital setting, going into a behavioral health setting, going into a nursing home, hearing those kind of stories. How does this change who they are as musicians?
You know, I think that the thing that's been so, gratifying for me about this program is really watching our musicians develop that comfort level. You know, anytime you go into an environment that you're unfamiliar with, there's some apprehension. And so the early parts of music as medicine really were primarily in public areas, in areas that you would go anyway. And music as medicine has, over the last four or five years, evolved primarily due to their interest in having a bigger impact. And, you know, it's fun to watch members of our Wind Quintet go up to either of these two folks that have done memoirs and carry on conversations with them and thank them for their work. One of the things that I think has made it particularly, or has been particularly helpful, is this program has evolved is really been the involvement of the hospital staff. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's Dr. Vanderbrock at Avera Behavioral Health, whether it's Jesse Parks, who's our primary contact with the Sanford Health System, or whether it's our folks at Prince of Peace, they are there as a resource for our musicians and kind of as a guide. Because, again, this is an environment that they're not, I guess, specifically trained to be in. And so that has helped them develop a comfort level with this work and has really created a relationship between our musicians and those healthcare professionals that really spurs some great ideas and some really impactful work.
So I'm wondering if you're expanding to other communities further out in the state. I know the symphony does travel some. Is this a program that travels well?
You know, I think it would be a program that travels well. And what's interesting is Music as Medicine was created with a task force that had really a very diverse representation. So, of course, it had our musicians on it and our staff, but then we had administrative staff from both Sanford and Avera. We also had music therapists from both Sanford and Avera. And so really just a very wide group. And we laid out, I want to say, 6 or 7 long-term goals. Because when we built Music as Medicine, we did not see it as a one-time program. We saw it as a program that we wanted to grow, that we wanted to develop. And one of the long-term goals of that program is that it could serve the rural systems and it would travel well. It hasn't yet. It's primarily in Sioux Falls at this point. But it would travel well in the future.
Give me an idea, Jennifer, of what grant money means to SDSU and the programs that you can offer?
You know, I think just like any nonprofit, our biggest challenge is funding the activities that we do. And those funds come from a wide variety of places. We have tremendous corporate support in our community and really across our state. We have tremendous individual support from folks that really do believe in the organization. But another really critical piece of allowing us to provide programs like this is the grant funding. And so the South Dakota Community Foundation has been very good to us. Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation has been very good to us, as have the Arts Councils, as well as countless other foundations. The great thing about some of the grant funding is that it's really specific. So you, as part of the grant process, have to say, we would like you to fund our work in this area. And so the funds coming, for example, through this, part of what we wanted to be able to do was start memoirs. And so that is that was part of this grant process. And they really do ultimately help us develop the programs over time in a very specific, directed way.
What kind of feedback are you getting from hospital staff and from members in the audience that lets you know you're on the right path?
You know, I think the great thing is at the end of every year, these groups come back together, you know, kind of our Sanford group and our Avera group come back together now separately because the programs have kind of taken on their own lives at both systems. But the feedback that we get during those meetings really allow us to tee up the activities for the following year. So it's based on really constantly assessing how we're doing, what works, what doesn't work. Sometimes it is, you know, they say it's just as important to know what sometimes you have to stop doing. And so in some of these feedback sessions, you know, we do find things that don't work. And the beauty of how a program like Music as Medicine evolves is that that's okay. It's okay that not everything that we do is as successful as, for example, memoirs is, because we learn from that and then we're able to do it better as we progress.
So what's next for Music as Medicine? Do you have anything, or with the symphony in general, do you have anything on your wish list that if you could fund, you would start with top priority?
You know, it's so interesting because when we talk about the South Dakota Symphony, I think most people know that the South Dakota Symphony does amazing concerts on the stage at the Washington Pavilion, and we absolutely do. But all told, you know, we do 18 or 20 programs on the stage at the Pavilion when, in reality, this organization is doing 200-plus programs around the state, and it is in work like Music as Medicine. It is in work like our educational programming. And when we talk about the growth of the organization, we really do see it in service. And so how is the South Dakota Symphony using this amazing thing that we call music to serve this community in this state and this region? And so when we think about that, it's programs like Music is Medicine. It's programs like our Lakota Music Project is another one that we are always seeking funding for. It works directly to address the long history of racial tension that we have in the state of South Dakota. And then the other piece is really through our educational programming. And we're working with Sioux Falls Public Schools, hoping to launch a new program with them next year. And there's so many things really teed up in this mission of service. And those are just a few.
Jennifer Boomgarten, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking with Jennifer Boomgarten, Executive Director of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. The Music as Medicine program is a partnership between SDSO and Avera Health. It is funded in part by the South Dakota Community Foundation.